Blog Talk Radio.
Dedicate our life to this sport. We give, we do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We you know, we have attitude. We're moving, and we go into that fight and to land on the line.
What up, boxing fans? This is the Rope-A-Dope Radio Podcast. I am your host, Chris Carlson. We are live on a Sunday afternoon. Kind of funky, I know, but I'm going to hit the ground running when I hang up on this show and go out of town for like 3 or 4 days. So I didn't tell anybody I was doing the show. You know, people are going to, I see some people in the chat, but overall, or on Switchboard, but overall, it's going to be kind of a right-to-the-point type show, just so you know. Obviously, you know, between DAZN and the PBC on Fox, and FS1 too, I suppose, we actually got a pretty good weekend, man. We got some upsets. We got some knockouts. We got some fun competitive fights. We definitely have to say on paper, it didn't look all that great, right? I mean, the PBC on Fox card was, you know, was falling apart all the way up until, and it turned out, like I said, to be a, you know, pretty fun weekend. So we'll definitely recap the weekend. We'll also preview the fight schedule coming up. Once again, not a lot of great fights on the docket, but as I mentioned time and time again throughout the year, sure, there are just shitty weekends, right? And this one might be coming up. Who knows, right? But you just never know until they actually fight. And in the ring, definitely paid off way more than expected. So we're going to, like I said, recap and preview next week. And, of course, we'll have some current fight news that's out there. We'll have a short little segment at the end like we do normally for the Boxing Twitter segment. You know, where we read, you know, basically like the tweet of the week, where it's just a great tweet or some great tweets. But also, we have some fun with some fanboys, right? Some just ridiculous, make you just go, what the hell? I got to get off Twitter for a day. Or the other way, you know, exposing media members acting as if they're fanboys. So, yeah, we got a lot to expose on that one. Now, but I'm going to start the show with this Canelo versus Plant breakdown and negotiations. And I know what you're going to say, Chris, you already talked about this on what? Was that Tuesday? And that is true, but we didn't have any detail. Remember, I went over the variety of reasons and conspiracies and all sorts of stuff that was online. And I threw a bunch of stuff on the wall, and it just didn't seem like any of it would stick because – it seemed like, I mean, maybe like they were having venue issues. That was like the only thing I could think of. And like I said, I was just throwing it against the wall, but clearly just nothing stuck. But now we do have some details. It's not just sources. It's coming from the horse's mouth as far as Caleb Plant on his version of how the negotiations went. And a lot of people are like, well, we're going to wait. We're going to wait for Canelo's side. Okay, that's fair, and I'm willing to hear his side of it. But one thing I do know is, you know, that was it Tuesday night or Wednesday the next day? I can't remember when this stuff started coming out. But I still haven't heard anything from that side. And if it's something like this for the reason why that the fight went, you know, went down or didn't go down, the negotiations fell apart, you'd assume somebody in that camp would at least put the word out like, hey, that's bullshit, you know? They don't even need to explain it. They could just say that. You think you hear something, and generally speaking, when that kind of detail comes out about negotiations or whatever, you generally hear from the other side. Now, like I said, I'm waiting to hear from the other side. I'm willing to look at it, you know, open-mindedly, but we are going to start with that Canelo plant stuff, what he was saying anyway, right? Because to be honest with you, we all know Canelo Alvarez is the A side. He's the face of boxing in America. There's no two ways about it. There are some folks that are gaining ground on him, but he's got a big ass lead right now, right? If Wilder were to knock out Fury, which would just shock everybody, he would, you know, decrease that lead. Let's put it that way, because he's a heavyweight and he knocks people out. We still don't know where Tyson Fury is, but as far as, you know, did he cross over here just yet? We got to find out. But anyway, is this A-side stuff? Because you see a lot of folks saying, dude, this is just A-side, man. The A-side gets what they want. But when you're talking about a $40 million or reported anyway, guarantee upfront money that, by the way, must have outdone DAZN on the upfront money. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been this far. He wouldn't have agreed to the terms. And they did agree to terms. And it was just going through those crossing the T's and dotting the I's, like I mentioned earlier. So is it A-side status and Canelo can do whatever he wants because he's A-side? Or is it diva? I mean, clearly in the negotiation process, he was treated with the A side. Well, you know, I would say that's clear. He was definitely given A side status or treatment, I should say. He already has A side status. And to me, I'm going to tell you why he went a step too far. Canelo Alvarez given A side treatment and still found a way to be a diva. That's the title of the show. And hear me out, because I see a lot of people right away on Twitter, plant, duck, the fight. Plant, according to him, and we haven't heard anything else yet, already signed off on the fight. It was actually Canelo in the PBC and Fox that had some late problems. And, you know, when you're talking about a late replacement and still getting the same exact career high upfront money on a late replacement? I mean, but we're going to go through all the factors. Let me explain this to you why there's an issue here. I've defended Canelo when others didn't. I've also, you know, ripped him when plenty of Canelo fanboys mostly didn't, you know? So it's not, this is nothing to do with the PBC. This is nothing to do with Al Haymon. This is nothing to do with Canelo. Eddie Reynoso, it's kind of funny how quiet Eddie Hearn's been. And I'm pretty sure, well, we'll talk about it. But there is a lot that goes into this, and I've seen people on Twitter. I've seen, you know, a couple of YouTube channels now, you know, kind of searching through, seeing a link, following it, see what they have to say. So I've gotten a lot of perspective from the media, part-time media. You know, you kind of drown out the fanboys on either side, the PBC fanboys or the Canelo. You know, that's to be expected, right? But when we're starting to compare other sports, like, well, the NBA gets guaranteed money. If LeBron misses a game, he still gets paid, you know? When we start to do that, we start to – remember, boxing doesn't have a union, so – or not a strong one, let's put it that way. And it's different than every other sport because the revenue, for the most part, beyond sponsors, the revenue is gained that night. That's the night. And we're going to get into this, but the pay-per-view is the biggest revenue generator. And when if these guarantees are even close to being factual, right, we don't know that. But if they're anywhere, we do know that you have to assume, I think logically, that DAZN wasn't willing to put up that much money up front because otherwise they would have, right? But there's a lot that goes into it. There's a lot that goes into it, and a lot of knee-jerk stuff out there about a late replacement. Well, just put, you know, Benavidez there. Yeah, we'll just use Benavidez. That's the late replacement. This stuff, you can't snap your fingers and it just happens, okay? But we're going to dig into it first, then, because, you know, it's the title of the show. So I'm going to dig into this Canelo stuff, get it out of the way, okay? I'm not going to spend an hour on it, right? I'm gonna get to it. I'm going to go over the points and show you why you are wrong. Sorry if you think that he's not being some diva here. They dropped the ball. And remember, you know, I among many other, you know, part-time media members and, you know, people that love the sport, follow the sport, business or in the ring, have given Golden Boy plenty of shit. I've given him praise. I've given him shit. And what I've given him shit for was, you know, the elongated negotiation process that had them missing the September, you know, what is it, usually the third week in September? Not always, I suppose, but the Mexican Independence Weekend. And how could you miss that when you got Canelo? Now, last year, there was an issue there, right? The year before, there was an issue. Obviously, Eddie Reynoso and Canelo's side are showing something here, meaning they deserve some of the blame then, too, because if they're going to do this, you know what I mean? If they're going to do this. And it's not about, oh, Canelo's ducking. Plant's not ducking. I'm not saying Canelo's ducking. I don't think he's afraid to fight Caleb Plant, but we're going to get into it, okay? We're going to get into it. If this is your first time listening to the Ropadope Radio Podcast, welcome. It streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/Ropadope Radio. You don't need to go to Blog Talk and Ropadope and download the show directly there or listen to it in the browser. If you don't want to, you can find the platform on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Player FM, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spreaker, almost across the board, right? We're also part of the Grueling True Sports Podcast Network, which can be found in a whole lot of places. While you're at it, why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.com? And one more thing. If you're thinking about cutting the cord, or you have, you're not quite happy, I got something for you. It's called AT&T TV. College football season starting up, guys. So it's NFL. Some of that's on cable. It's called AT&T TV. Plans start as low as $69.99 a month. Simple pricing, no hidden fees, no annual contract. Of course, you can stream it anywhere on any device. The cloud DVR is available. And if you sign up for the choice package or above, get a free year of HBO Max at AT&T TV. Okay. So, you know, like I said, I went over like maybe six or eight different things of, most of them were just funny, random, knee-jerk conspiracies that I saw and just joked about, right? And I was just kind of hitting my head on the wall going, what, I mean, I really wasn't doing that, but what could it be? What would make it at the last, you know, when you've already agreed to terms, you've got the money settled. Well, clearly they didn't have the money settled all the way, I guess. But they had the money settled, pretty much. But how could this now fall apart? You know? And I went on the PBC side, too, saying, you know, maybe these sources and reports are wrong, and they did want a three-fight deal. You know? By the way, it sounds like not only were they willing to do just the one fight, they did offer a two fight. So he would fight in September, and then he'd get to fight in December, I'm assuming on regular Fox, in a stay busy fight. Maybe it'd be on pay-per-view too. I don't know. But maybe it would have been on Fox. But in Mexico, it even says in Toppinger's article. But anyway, I just couldn't figure it out. It's like there's got to be something to this. And then Caleb Plant went to Coppinger and said some things that were very much like how I assumed the negotiation would go as far as the A-side treatment, because clearly Canelo is the A-side. But there is, you know, there is diva, though, too, right? And I get trying to get one over, right, with the replacement still getting the same career-high guarantee with the replacement. I get trying to do that. But if that's what causes the fight to not happen this go around, or just in general, let's say, that's ridiculous. It just is. And like I said, hear me out if you don't. Listen to another side then, if this side, I should say, the other side, if you don't agree. Just hear me out, okay? Just hear me out. So, you know, they obviously, you know, he wanted, you know, I mean, A-side treatment, $40 million to $10 million. You get revenue at the gate, which, by the way, now he doesn't have a signed contract with a promoter like he did with Golden Boy, where they were getting some of that gate money. He doesn't have that, so he wanted the gate money. Of course, the Mexican television rights, you know, that type of stuff. Cool. All that stuff's cool, for sure, 100%. But when at the last second, right, when you're going back and forth, and you're crossing the I's, and you're dotting the T's, did I just say that? I'm going on about 4.5 hours of sleep, guys. I work late. I'm just trying to make up reasons. It's not an excuse, though. It's a reason. And I watched, like, 5 fights when I got home. I just want to get on the road and start vacation. Anyway, you know what I'm saying. Here's the thing. This whole Caleb is ducking plant, or Jesus Christ, Caleb is ducky Canelo. Come on, dude. Like, according to the information we have, okay, he already signed off on it. And it's not his say because it's not his money. So when you say he ducked him, he already signed off on his side and gave all the A-side stuff away, obviously. That's it. That's what it is. But when you ask, when you're getting, allegedly, a career high up front, so you fight Cotto, you fight freaking 2 fights with Golovkin, and you're getting more money up front than you did in those fights. Right? And then in the back and forth contracts to finalize the deal, after you agreed to terms, then you put the stipulation in there, I still get the same exact career high upfront money for a late replacement if Caleb got hurt or COVID or whatever. I guess, right? Maybe this is wrong, maybe this is right, but, you know, we're just going off what Caleb said in this stuff. I mean, I do believe this is the reason why the fight fell off, though. I'll say that. But I'm talking about, like, I don't know if because it was undisputed in the unification and all that, like, did they say there's not going to be any rematch clause? I don't know that. I'm not sure about that. We've seen that when it comes to those type of fights, but I don't know. But it turns out he did want his rematch clause, and I can't blame him. Why wouldn't you? What if he gets screwed on the freaking judge, you know, on the scorecards? You never know. I don't think Canelo's getting screwed on the scorecards, but in theory, right? Or you hurt yourself really bad in the fight, and you end up losing, whatever. But to say I want the same exact career-high upfront money for a late replacement, which could literally be on Wednesday of fight week, that's nonsense. That's not, you know, business. What I see a lot of people doing is they're now saying, well, this is wrong with boxing. This is wrong with boxing. This, he should get a guarantee. The players in the NBA get it. You know, I've heard that multiple different platforms say that. It's like, we know all the things wrong with boxing, December 18th. You're not going to change the business overnight, okay? And if this is your... You know, if you're drawing a line in the sand this way, it's ridiculous because there's a percentage of these folks. If you think Plant ducked Canelo, the same, I mean, how many, I'll ask you a question, how many people would completely flip out in the media, in the part-time media, and amongst the fan base if there's a late replacement on pay-per-view? A late replacement. The media, not everyone, but a lot of people would, in general, would destroy them. completely destroy, especially when it came to Al Heyman and the PBC. And I'd be one of them because, hey, what the fuck? We got a late replacement? And we'll get to that late replacement because everyone just said, oh, just put Benavidez there. Oh, Charlo, yeah, that's easy. Snap of the fingers. Listen, if this was going to be such a sticking point for Canelo and Eddie Reynoso, they shouldn't have come to terms with the money first. And, hey, they were trying to use their A-side leverage. I get maybe trying to do it. Sure, you could try. Why not? You know, there's a sucker born every day. But come on, dude. Like, this, you should have made this more up front. This should have been in the top two or three things that said, hey, dude, I want to fight. Let's work out something. You know, to still say I want to fight and maybe Fox could plan, although I'm assuming they have a college football game on that night on Fox, but maybe I'm wrong. And maybe they could do it after the football game and have Canelo, you know. So if he wanted to work it to where he'd still get paid healthily, but it would just be on Fox, or maybe it would have to be at FS1 because college football would be that night. I don't know. I think you could do it after, actually, because those games start earlier sometimes on Fox, and they could be done, and you could still have him on Fox, whatever. Or still do it on pay-per-view, but just less money. If that was going to be a sticking point, you should have made that known up front heavy. And maybe he brought it up. I'm not saying that. We don't know that. But you shouldn't agree to terms for that. That shouldn't have been a last second thing, because the last second part screws everything. So for the people that talk about, well, the NBA get guaranteed money, MLB, baseball get guaranteed money, a lot of sports get guaranteed money. We're starting to see more and more guaranteed money, to an extent anyway, in football, actually, in the NFL, especially the quarterback position, right? I should know. Kirk Cousins got guaranteed money, his deal that we gave him. Anyway, first of all, they have a strong-ass union. Boxing doesn't. And it's a league. Boxing's not a league. They're all on the same page enough to be a league. They have people supervising the whole thing, in charge of it. They have a bunch of owners, like having a bunch of promoters under a banner, right? So, yeah, when LeBron sits out a game, he still gets paid his guarantee. Of course he does. Of course he does. But it's not pay-per-view. Like I said, you can hate pay-per-view. You can hate the sanctioning belts. You can hate how a lot of fighters are treated. That's fine, but that has nothing to do with September 18th. So stop trying to say, because I saw multiple people say, well, I mean, maybe you don't want the fighters to have guaranteed money like the NBA. Dude, don't turn it into that stuff. Saw a couple channels say that. Don't turn it into that. Don't do that. Don't do that. The difference is the biggest revenue on that night, and most of your revenue beyond your sponsor is on that night, and you only have a sponsor because you're going to fight those nights. So, sure, a guy like Canelo has sponsorship. He's the A-side. He's the face of boxing in the States. There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. But the biggest revenue, like I said, is from the pay-per-view. And I got to admit, now, there's not a promoter huge cut in here. We've talked about how, for instance, you know, Bob Arum gets 30% of the pay-per-view money out of, you know, 30% and 70%. That's what he said with Fury. That's their split or whatever, right? And even when it's a pay-per-view and he's not promoting it, like with Teofimo, he's still got 20%. Now, there's not a promoter that's going to take that large chunk. So the recoup helps there, but I'm not sure they'd sell enough pay-per-views to recoup. I'm really not. So you're already maybe not going to recoup. But in the process of trying to gain as much recoup revenue as you can, an undisputed fight means something. Now, remember, not only did Fox give Canelo, according to the report, I might add again, a career-high upfront money for about a month or so, basically the second that Mayweather, the Manny Pacquiao and Spence fight's over, boom, they're going to be hitting the ground running. I've already seen, I'm not talking about last night. I've already seen the commercial about four times for Pacquiao and Spence. During baseball, during soccer, I've seen it already. And I'm not talking about during the, you know, of course they're going to show it during the Fox shows for boxing, you know. But, like, every time that commercial runs, technically they're losing money. Because in the place of that commercial could be another commercial that they could have ads money coming in, right? And that adds up over a month. And shit, for Fox, sometimes it's 2 and 3 months they promote fights. So not only are you investing huge money up front, right? You're investing in pushing the fight. Not to mention, Caleb Plant's been on Fox and originally FS1 early, what was it, January 2019. The amount of marketing and exposure he's gotten on Fox in the last 2 years, or almost two, yeah, 2 years, is, you know, there's not that many more fighters out there in the States that have gotten that exposure. There are some, no doubt about it, but if push comes to shove, not that many, really. So, in him as well, so is Plant, you know, some kind of huge name? No. But he has gotten exposure, and they put money into it. And what makes this fight a bigger fight is that it's undisputed. And that's the only leverage they have beyond paying you a career high that you couldn't get from DAZN for this fight. Now, could he get that for Golovkin? Yes, of course. He could get that for McGregor or Habib or Oscar. Who are the other people that they named on that contract, you know? You know what I'm talking about. Anyway, my point is, so to sit there and say the week of the fight, I still want the same exact money, and you're doing this, like Coppinger said, in the 11th hour down when you're just finalizing the deal. You're just finalizing the deal. That's ridiculous, dude. That's one step too far into diva mode. That's the method acting best, you know, Oscar performance of diva film, drama, best drama. Come on, dude. Like, this is too much. You can't expect them to give you a career-high payday to fight a TBA. Now, let's you know, a lot of fans and even some media managers think it's, like I said, a snap of the fingers. And this is why I said you had to have probably not even come to terms. And don't get me wrong. Sometimes you want to get the money out of the way, and then you can work out the other stuff. I get that, okay? I do get that. But if this was going to be such a sticking point, which clearly, if this fight doesn't happen, that was the sticking point. What else, being honest? So, as far as addressing the late replacement, a lot of people just went right to Benavidez because he has a fight coming up in a couple of weeks. So now, right, the fights, the tickets have been on sale. He got announced originally a couple months ago in the Showtime announcement. So now Al has to go to Espinosa and say, hey, I know you got this main event, and I know it's already done, and I know you're already selling tickets in Phoenix, but we're going to have to take that off. That's just not how it works. And then wonder if Benavidez gets hurt. Then what? Then what do you do? What kind of opponent do you think you end up with if Benavidez got hurt 10 days out? And then Plant got COVID. Then what? Like I said, just imagine how many people, rightfully so, would destroy Fox, PBC, Al Haymon for putting on a late replacement. A late replacement on pay-per-view. Now, I didn't buy Liam Smith on pay-per-view. I didn't think that was worthy. You can see for him, the numbers weren't even that good for him. But you can't just snap your fingers, because then you got to negotiate. If you're going to do this late in the process, that's a new negotiation. Because now Al, like I said, has to go to Espinoza, has to go to Benavides. Are you cool with this dude? And like I said, okay, so what happens if he gets hurt or gets COVID then? So then your backup's gone. Now let's go to Charlo. Okay? Charlo is probably in relatively decent shape still. I get that. But we're, what are we, 6 weeks out from, or we're 7 weeks out from the fight. But it's really 6 weeks of training camp, because we all know you don't go crazy and train. You don't spar the last week. It's not training camp. You're more worried about media and losing weight. That's what you do in the last one. So now, because it's not like it was like, well, it's either going to be Plant or Charlo, and we're negotiating with both of them. It wasn't like that. So now Charlo is going to be the late replacement, which takes time to negotiate. Remember, you can't just snap your fingers and it just happens, like you can just tweet something, right? That's what people act like. And some of them are media members and part-time media members that are saying this just nonsense. And if the shoe was on the other foot, they'd be freaking out, dude. Freaking out. So the thing with Charlo, so now Charlo has to have not a full camp. And remember, Charlo's not a big, big name, but his, you know, over time, your guarantee goes up, especially if you keep winning, right? Well, he's got a healthy guarantee. I'm not saying it's $5 or $10 million, but it's not $250,000 or $500,000, you know what I mean? So now you got to remember, it's all budgeted. The whole year is budgeted, right? Showtime, Fox Sports, they give money to the PBC, and the whole thing's budgeted. So now Fox has got to pay the guarantee minimum for Charlo, right? And then they got to find some opponent for him, which probably wouldn't be a tough opponent or whatever. Maybe he could get that on the cheap, sure. But so then the backup opponent doesn't get a full camp either, even though it's a legit opponent people want to see him with, Benavides or Charlo. Like, what is that? Come on, dude. That and then what if Charlo gets hurt or gets COVID? Then what? Well, then you don't got a backup. Then you got a so-so mediocre whatever. Yeah, just put in Anthony Durrell, right? You know how many people would destroy that fight on pay-per-view? Come on, this is just basic shit, dude. It'd be different if he wanted less money. But remember, all this stuff takes time. And when you're 7 weeks out, and you haven't fought since early May, you had time to figure this stuff out. It didn't need to come in the last finalizing the contracts. That's nonsense. I'm not saying he ducked them, but like I said, we've been pretty, fair to Golden Boy, but we've been critical when times call for being critical, like that damn contract that they had with Canelo, where they lied to Canelo and signed a different deal with DAZN, saying different shit. And then Canelo thought they were on the same page. That was not true. That was bullshit. Hence him not being with Golden Boy anymore. It just straight up DAZN. So, but like I said, we gave him shit. Now it's time to give Canelo and Eddie Reynoso a little shit, because this is just one step too far. And I understand, you know, that from the sounds of it, according to reports, that, and some people have used this example, and I will address it, of at DAZN, he got his minimum no matter what. Not his minimum. Well, that is basically his minimum. You have to pay him this. But remember, that was a contract. That was a contract. It was in the contract. You have to give – per fight, I get this amount of money. Well, and technically, DAZN would give, what was it, $40 million? Golden Boy and Canelo would get 35 of that. And the rest was for trying to find an opponent. I believe that's how it went. So, like, that's a different thing. He's a free agent. He may have a minimum in mind, but like I said, DAZN, who went way out of their way to give him some huge money, weren't willing to go all the way with this one. So, don't bring up, oh, this is what's wrong with the sport and all that. We all fucking know there's, 17 different things wrong with the sport. This is about September 18th, 7 weeks away, and why this fight's falling apart, okay? It's just one step too far. It just is. If you can't see that, you're blinding yourself. you just, I don't, you know, I don't think it's all, it doesn't seem like it's all Canelo fanboys doing this either. People I've heard, I respect their opinions in a lot of ways. They just, they know a lot about boxing in the ring, but they don't, they think it's like, they just, they're trying to, sometimes you can't use logic all the time with boxing. In each business, in the description of a word or whatever, it's how it, the point is you're not going to get guaranteed fucking money for fighting the late replacement, dude. Like, that high. You can still get money. Maybe they could have worked something out, but that should have been worked out before the last second. And that just shaky. And I know, like I said, some people had Billy Joe Saunders up in that fight. I personally did not. I thought he won some rounds, but I did not have Billy Joe Saunders up in that fight. So some people that did are kind of, some of these people I've noticed are like, the style that he was just having problems with, well, you know, you got a fresher fighter who's always been in shape and they don't want that style, right? Yeah, I don't think they're afraid to fight Plant. I just don't. But this is ridiculous. It is. It just is, dude. Like, this, there's no excuse for this if, in fact, you know, this is what happened. And I always say that because, you know, we don't know. Sometimes all of a sudden, right, boom, they could give us information where we go, oh, hold on now, we got to readdress this. And I'll be on here readdressing it. Okay. I went too long. I apologize, but some of this stuff is, you know, it's, and it'll be the people that, and some of these people will tell you, don't freaking just be a boxing fan, dude. Don't, you know, don't support one platform or, you know, be a fanboy of one. But then they agree with this shit. But let Floyd or any, I mean, most people, you know. Let any, most fighters do this. In fact, I remember Eddie Hearn. I got to search for that. I remember Eddie Hearn, even when there was late replacements, right? And by the way, over in the UK, you know, a late replacement, if you're only paying 20 or 25 bucks, it, maybe that's not as big of a deal, right? Yeah, I could see that. But that's not how it's done here. And has there ever been a late replacement for a pay-per-view here? Yes. But name me a fighter that got career-high money up front and had this, and the fight just didn't get postponed. Because he wants the fight to be postponed so he can make that money if he gets hurt, and rightfully so. But come on, dude. Step too far. Anyway, I'm done. I'm done with that subject. Sorry. I maybe went too far there, but this is, I just had to break it down a little bit. This is, come on. This is pretty much boxing 101 business, dude. And if you can't see that, you got to readdress it, man. You can't use your personal feelings. You can't use other sports. You can't. You just can't. It doesn't make any sense, dude. They shouldn't. And these people will be, like, ripping them when they lose money on this fight, too. There's some of these people that will just destroy. They'll let DAZN waste a bunch of money, but they'll just destroy Al Haymon on this. And I would destroy them, too. I would be like, late replacement pay-per-view? Oh, damn, dude, for real? Okay, whatever, dude, you know. And it would bomb. I mean, it's probably not going to make money as it is. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. I'll admit it. But it would bomb with a late. Anyway, all right, let's get into the last week, and we'll get to the Fox card in just a second. I do want to start on DAZN because, you know, they changed the game. Jack Cullen got an easy win over Yildirim. It was a decent fight, though. It was one-sided, pretty easy win, but it had moments of being a decent fight, right? Scorecards read 190, 98-92, and 97-93. So, you know, a lot of people are calling for Jack Cullen to get the Canelo fight next. Anthony Fowler, I thought used his jab really nicely in that fight. as the fight went on, he started picking up the pace too. Looked like he was going for the stoppage. Fowler was able, I think, in the eighth round to buzz him or probably full-on hurt him. And then he kind of flurried on him, and he scored the TKO. So Fowler got the job done. He is now going to face on October 19th, I think in Liverpool, Liam Smith, Anthony Fowler versus Liam Smith. I like that fight. That's a good fight. Good performance by Fowler. You know, he really stayed within his self. I like that. Campbell Hatton won the fight. Still a work in progress. The Arthur Yard, Arthur Yard rematch is going to be October 9th as well. I think that's a Frank Warren Queensberry. I like that fight too with the rematch. Then we have McCarthy and Billiam Smith. This one was competitive. You know, I'd have been just fine with a draw. I had it. I actually had McCarthy get out to a 3-1 lead. He was landing like pretty nice overhand rights and just, I thought, the better shot. But then Billiam Smith won a handful of rounds in a row. He started kind of using his jab and landing some good inside shots. Nice right hands, a good left hook to the body or head. So I gave him the 5th, 6th, and the 7th. There was a, I think McCarthy started bleeding from a head clash. But he just, like I said, he landed the better shots. I gave him the 8th too, I think. Back and forth 8th though. In the halfway mark, I thought Billiam Smith just landed that like a nice clean left hook followed by a right hand. So that was good enough. But then McCarthy made a run down the stretch, and I gave him at least 3 out of the last four rounds. I gave the 9th, the 11th, the 12th, the 10th was a close round, and there was competitive rounds. I thought Billiam Smith's jab was better in that round. I really thought, you know, I think with 60 seconds left in my notes here, in the 11th, a big right hand by McCarthy. I thought he just landed maybe a couple of better shots in that competitive 12th round. So I had it 6-6 right in that range anyway. And the punch stat, 154 to 155, Billiam Smith was more active, more accurate on the McCarthy side. So 115, 114 apiece, both of them had that. And then 116, 112, which I didn't see 8-4. I don't know how you can give 8 rounds to anyone in that fight. But it was a good fight. Like I said, I scored it 6-6. You know, maybe 7-5, Billiam Smith, you know, maybe. I could see that. I would, like, if I had to pick a winner, he'd be the winner, but not 8-4. And then Zukon and Lay Wood. Someone said Lay Wood to me. It's like Lang Wood. Pause. Is it late wood? Late wood? I don't know. But he dropped the wood on this one. It's crazy. You look at Josh Warrington and Zhu Khan. We're going to fight for the lineal Ring Magazine belt. And both of them got stopped. You got to love that about boxing. It's just crazy. And I know a lot of people are like, lineal Chris, Gary Russell. I hear you, but it was going to be 1-3. Going to be 1-3 because that fight wasn't going to get made. And after a while, like, I think they offered Gary Russell $1 million to come over. And he didn't take it. And they just don't think it's going to happen. So after a while, that's the Ring Magazine's rules. I mean, they're doing it for Spence Pacquiao. But anyway, I actually had Zhu Khan up after 4 rounds. I had him up, I'm looking at my scorecard. Maybe it was 2-2. But I could see 3-1 easily. I thought I had him up, but maybe I'm wrong. Looking at it right now. I think the counter right hand is what gave him one of those rounds. Oh, his right hand, dude, Woods' right hand to the body and some really nice uppercuts. That started kind of changing it for me as the fight went on. I mean, the pressure, and it seemed like the better shots early in the fight were Zhu Kong. But after a handful of rounds, it was all Wood. And that jab with, like, the slight, subtle movement, he kind of refused to get in too many firefights, which I really respected in this fight for him. They countered well at times. And I think the first knockdown was a beautiful right hand. And then it was, then he had a, you know, he had like a TKO basically. He closed it. In the closing seconds, he shut it down. So that was a really big win by Wood. I wonder if there'll be a rematch. I don't know, man. It got pretty one-sided all of a sudden, didn't it? I really thought that. So big win for him. Upset, you know, no doubt about it. So that turned out to be a good card, even though we lost the Conor Ben Granados, which I was looking forward to that as a nice, sturdy test for him. 147 is not great for Granados, but it sounded like he had a full camp. I do feel bad for Granados flying all the way over there and then, you know, not getting the fight. I'm assuming he didn't get the fight. Maybe I missed him on the undercard. I don't think he got to, which sucks, you know. So moving over to the PBC on Fox, this one on paper looked all over the place. You know, like, first of all, Washington got COVID, so he got knocked off the main event. A lot of people, including myself, was good with Jonathan Rice, though, as far as still, let's see where, you know, Coffey's at, you know, because I thought, okay, well, this dude's going to give him rounds at least, you know, but he's a good fighter, whatever. And also Martin, the Melenecki Martin, that was going to be the rematch, right? He freaking was overweight, and the only reports that I've heard, I haven't followed up on this, just to be honest, but I thought I heard that he just called and said, hey, I'm not going to make it. And he was like 5 pounds over. Maybe he came and weighed in and wasn't that, it wasn't 5 pounds, it was three, I don't know. But that's what I remember reading, that he, you know, that he literally called and said, dude, I'm not going to make it. So Martin ended up fighting Joey Spencer. And, Vito ended up taking on Noah Kidd. And in the first round in that Vito fight, by the way, Vito brought some folks out to the Prudential Center considering, you know, where he's at his career coming off of L, too. So that's good. You always love to see a young fighter draw some fan base, you know. But I think it was a left hook. And then he followed it up with some really good body shots, too. But I think it was a left hook that scored with like a minute left in the first, scored a knockdown. And then several clean shots, landed a nice hook and uppercut, and that was it. It was a TKO. It was over. Vito got the second round knockout. And he's like, screw Martin, you know. I'm done with him. He said, I'm going to be a superstar anyway. Okay, Vito. I like the confidence, Vito, but man, you know, I said that was my worst night, and we've heard we haven't heard, like, every detail or anything about why his camp or whatever, his shit was bad. I don't know. You know, the first reports were like, oh, he's going home, he's homesick, and now he's not training with Goosen anymore. And so was he in good enough fighting condition in that fight? Was he injured and he took the fight? I don't know. I'm going to actually get him on the show at some point. I kind of want to know that. But the kid says he's going to be a superstar. Oh, boy. Well, he's getting that's some dudes need to add that pressure to themselves, right? But coming off of L and then getting this nice knockout to say it doesn't matter, man. I don't need him. I'm going to be a superstar. That's like I said, I like the confidence, but man, that is just a meme waiting to happen. That is like a clip that'll just run for the next 3 years if you get beat here soon. But I, you know, I've liked Beto. I like Beto. I think he's got some skill, man. It did seem like he was in great shape, but also, like, more under control. He got a little wild, you know, once he hurt him. He did get too wild, but I thought he looked pretty good. I thought he looked pretty good. Joey Spencer, I thought, looked good against Martin, you know. He started out really good. He was definitely working the shit out of the body. I had Spencer win the first couple. Well, I had Spencer winning almost every round. I mean, I'm looking at it. Yeah, I think the third was close. Joey could have stole it late with a nice shot. But those right hands to the body behind that jab and then the left hook to the head, he was looking for that all night. And there was the sixth round, I'm looking at my scorecard, was pretty close. By the mid-rounds, though, Spencer was in complete control. He went into pot shot mode, and it looked like, I don't know, I don't know if he was getting minorly tired or if he just knew he was up on the scorecards, or this trainer did say your legs are gone, you know, in the seventh round, I think so. So Martin had, you know, he had success. Like in the seventh round, he had late success and all that, but the cleaner, the, you know, I just thought that's what it was. The eighth round, he was busier. So maybe you could give him two rounds. I wouldn't go 5-3. You know, 6-2 maybe, something like that. But Spencer in a while hasn't put a complete performance. I still don't know if I would classify this as a complete performance, but he looked much better. Didn't look like he was just headhunting, going for a knockout. He's still a work in progress, but I liked what I saw. We'll see, though. We'll see. Now, Michael Coffey and Jonathan Rice, the late replacement. Here it is, man. This was nice. This was nice. And Jonathan Rice, like, Coffey, what was it, 29 or 30? I think it was 30 when he started boxing. And he's like 35 right now, right? 34, 35. That's always tough. It's tough enough to start when you're 18 or 21 or something, right? But it's super tough to start when you're 30. A solid career. But Jonathan Rice just looked the more natural fighter. He landed a few clean shots in the opening round. You could see the jab was there. He was landing that counter right. He was, like, looping the shit out of his left hands and right hands, you know. I mean, how, you know, he didn't lose a round, I don't believe, you know. Fifth round comes around, it was like 3 or 4 really hard right hands, and they're more combinations. Coffey did land a good counter left, but then the jab and straight right hands started coming out, and it was weird. Like, a lot of people just mark it down as a bad stoppage, and I get that. I do get that. The only thing is, okay, just hear me out on this. Coffey, clearly it was like his demeanor, and his something, he messed with his eye. Now, we've seen plenty of people, especially with a cut, mess with their eye, you know, and take a second to wipe down their eye or check their eye, whatever. But he turned his body some away from the fighter and kind of was like, well, let me just go over here in the corner real quick. Let me check my eye out. Can I get a mirror? Oh, shit, we're in a fight. You know, it was kind of like, well, hold on, dude. You can rub your eye. We see it all the time. But I don't know, you know, I think that's what the problem was. He was hurt. And I think him turning his body away from it and not like, you know, the shoulder roll, you know, he was turning away from contact and then like rubbing his eye, and he like closed his eye a little bit. And the ref's like, all right, dude, you're about to get freaking splattered here if you do this. And he kind of did it, and then he fully did it, and that's when they stopped the fight. So I can understand on the surface how it does look like an early stoppage. I do get that. I totally get that. Sometimes, though, it's your demeanor, you know? It's sometimes, but a huge, huge win. And it's funny because that dude Delgado, some people thought that was a bad. But once again, well, here, let's just go through that fight because he wasn't looking at the ref enough to be like, dude, I'm good on that second knockdown. Off the ropes, what was it, second round? Off the ropes, Dargan, just a gorgeous picture-perfect uppercut, dropped him, and he was hurt. He was hurt. You could see him try to get up, and he could. You know how, like, that your chest is just heavy, like your shoulders are like 1,000 pounds, and your neck and your head is like, dude, I can't do this. You know, I can't get up. I literally can't get up, you know? And he did that for a couple times, then he got up, right? Got back up, and then the second knockdown was like a I think it was right to the body. I think two or three rights to the body were landed. Really nice. I thought Dargan did a good job there. And then I think a right hand to the head. And Delgado, first of all, like his knee and his leg almost like twisted really weird. He's lucky he didn't do something there. But he got starched there. I'm not saying he was sat on the mat starched, but he got hit hard as hell. And then he just jumped right back up too quick. And he stumbled, and it was like, whoa, dude, are you good? You know, because you look pretty bad the last time you were on the mat. Now you jump up and you stumble, and then he's bending over. And I do think he half a glanced at the ref when he bent over, but, you know, in that moment, you really got to be in contact with the ref, looking at him dead in his eye like, I'm good, dude, I'm fine, you know? So once again, sometimes it's the demeanor and what your legs, you know, are telling the ref too. And he stumbled, he bent over, he did some stuff that we see and people get to, you know, remain in fights. But I was actually okay. Seeing that replay, especially when they showed not the bird's eye view replay, I was like, he got hit really hard with that right hand at the end. And I think it was okay. But a nice win by Dargan. Neely and Torres was like, it was one of those good action fights. You could see that Neely was winning cleanly, but it was fun. You know, he was outworking him, just outlanding him with, you know, better overall punches. You know, Torres was very game, though, and there'd be times where he would take punishment, and it looked like it was about to be like, okay, it's starting to add up, and he would answer right back. So I was impressed with Torres' effort anyway. But Norman Neely, who had the crowd out, that was nice to see a couple of different fighters get the crowd involved, along, obviously, with first and foremost Vito. You could tell it was a post-fight card and not a prelim, a post-lim, because, you know, we see that from time to time when they do these. And I think it was because they had a doubleheader on FS1 of MLB baseball. That's why they couldn't do the prelim. That's what I'm assuming. But it was nice. It actually worked out good. It came right in the first round. It moved right to it because I was working, and we were watching the end of the Twins game, like just seeing it, and there's this old dude named Gary that comes in, and he's a boxing fan for fights coming on after Twins game. Oh, really? Oh, well, shit, let me watch, you know? And he thought Delgado was going to win, by the way. I don't think he's ever seen a fight. But anyway, Norman Neely looked pretty good to me. He looked pretty good. I want to see more of him. And then Andre Durrell scored, what was it, 3 knockdowns and ended that fight really easy over Brooker. I thought that could be sneaky, like decent, but as it turns out, it was not. It was one-sided. We'll see where he goes. He was fighting that. He was fighting that light heavyweight, wasn't he? Now that I think about it, I think so. All right, now as far as this weekend goes, on the app, this is free, by the way. You don't have to have Triller or pay for Triller. On Fight, because they, on Fight TV, that app, this is going to be free on there, by the way. So Michael Hunter against Mike Wilson, Chris Algieri against Mikel Lespierre. Eric Walker against Evan Golub, that could actually be a good fight. There's some other fights going on too, but this is a Triller, like, prospect fight club thing they got going on. And I'm glad, the one thing I like about it, well, it's free on Fight TV, but I like that it's in New York, man, and that's dope, because New York, you know, we need some shows going on there again, dude. They need to pick up steam and everything like that. So I'm really happy with that. But it's Triller Versus, too. It's in the Hulu Theater, by the way, in Madison Square Garden. And the undercard, I like how they set this up. The undercard is the fights, and the main event is the Versus. For those who don't know what the Versus is, it's basically mostly old school. There has been some 2000s artists, but mostly old school. Damage in the 2000s, what am I saying? But, you know, I was just thinking about some of the other, a lot of them have been 90s and 80s and even, you know, Earth, Wind & Fire and all that. But the Lox Versus Dipset, and you basically get at least 20, sometimes it goes more, but both sides get 20 of their best songs, and they battle back and forth. They also tell stories about a bunch of different stuff, including the song, or, hey, we recorded this. You know, what's funny is blah, blah, blah. So the Lox and Dipset, you can tell by the tickets that it's going to be jumping in there. So I like what they're doing with this individual thing. I do like that. I think that's dope. I'm interested. You know, I'm going to be out of town, but I will. Hopefully it'll be archive free on. Maybe it's just going to stream. But I wanted to see it either way. So that card's Tuesday, by the way. Tuesday, August 3rd. So keep note of that. ESPN Plus from Belfast, Northern Ireland. Michael Conlon versus TJ Donnie. That's a good fight. That's an interesting fight. We'll see. TJ hasn't looked as good. Conlon's, you know, it's not like he's been looking great, but I like that fight. That's an interesting fight. And that's Friday. That is Friday. There's a Boston Boxing on Friday, too, on YouTube, so I'm assuming that's free. DAZN has a card on Saturday, Kid Galahan and Jazza Dickens, for the vacant IBF welterweight. That could be okay. Fabio Wardley and Nick Webb, a lot of people talking about that on Twitter. Babic, the Savage, is back. Bridges, the Savage in Another Way, is back. And also locally here in Minneapolis, up here in Minnesota, down there at the Armory. You know, they redid the Armory down there. Some old guy was saying that the other day at the bar. You know, I heard that they refurnished the Armory back there. Yeah, heck of a, you know, they used to do boxing and wrestling back there. And boy, I like it, you know. I haven't been to a fight just yet, but I like it. So anyway, sorry, that was my Minnesota accent. So, you know, another Fox show. Now, the main event, Crawley, we got an amateur who's, what is he, 2-3-0. And Crawley, it was supposed to be prospect fight, right? He's off, I think, because of COVID. So they're still trying to find a filler in there. And this is what's so goofy about it. It's a vacant... God, vacant WBA interim welterweight. So a vacant WBA interim. Damn, that's going a long ways. Sanonius is fighting Luis Collazo. Hopefully he gets some solid rounds. It's tough to say where we're at with Gonzalez. Did I just say it with Collazo? Sorry. Like I said, I'm super tired. Sorry, just trying to give some content before I get the hell out of town. He looked good. He won. Well, you know what? I forgot. He beat Perella. I mean, this is a couple years ago. But he beat Perella. Who did he fight last? Oh, he fought that prospect, and it was he was losing the fight, but it was competitive. That's what it was, that Abdu Kakarov, I think something like that. Here, let me look it up. I think it's Abdu Kakarov who he lost to. That's what it was. Yep, that's who it was. Was they unable to continue because of a cut. And that was a long time ago, 2019. So a year in like 7 or 8 months, or more than that, actually. He did beat Samuel Vargas, beat Perella. It's really tough with Collazo, and it's tough to see what actually this will bring. You know what I mean? It is tough. I got to say that, because you just don't – you don't know what Collazo's got left. Stanonius, so is this a step back? Well, old school or old veteran name, no, it's not, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure about that. That could actually give him good solid rounds against a vet who's still crafty, right, who's going to be on the move and all that. Or it could be just a good action fight and he gets a knockout. I don't know. My guess is I'm going to say it's going to go the full round and it's going to be somewhat competitive. What's a 10-rounder? I'm going to say, like, Collazo could win maybe 2 rounds. Devin Alexander making a return against Lucas Santa Maria, 10-rounder. And then Gomez Mendoza is a 10-rounder junior middleweight. So, and then the UFC Fight Pass, which is usually DiBella, he's got a card too. So there's actually plenty of action. We'll see how much substance that we get. And since I'm going to be out of town in the Spence fight coming up, and my mom's actually in town from Sweden and all that good stuff, I'm not going to go to the Armory this Saturday. So I won't know. I believe now that Jamal James is not on the undercard, because that was a rumor that he was going to be on the Pacquiao-Spence undercard, now that that's not happening, because they announced it, guessing he's going to be, could be wrong, but I'm guessing he's going to be on the he's going to be on another Armory card on Fox. That's just my hunch, you know, which obviously, you know. So someone messaged me that's listening right now. You could press 1, anyone on here, almost, yeah, no. Yeah, most people, I suppose. I haven't even tweeted it. Most people just listen that are on right now that I'm looking at, yeah. So, but if you are listening in the browser and you just messaged me, someone said it was a 3-fight deal and that's all they said. I even talked about it last week. It was a 3-fight deal, and that's why it fell apart. Well, from the reports, it wasn't. And if that was the thing, that they were lying about the 3-fight deal, I know, how would Eddie Reynoso and Canelo not come out and say, bullshit, they were offering a 3-fight deal, not a 1-fight. But they were offering a 2-fight as well. I mentioned this, and that was for a stay-busy fight, and he could fight in Mexico if he wanted to in December. So, put that in your pipe and smoke that shit. You know what I mean? I mean, smoke it. Go for it, dude. Okay, so we're going to go over some fight news. Well, Dmitry Bivol is somebody that has been talking about, he's basically got, what did I say, 6 weeks of training, because we know the last week is not really training. And Bivol would have to go down to 168. With not a full camp. Kudos to him if he wants to do that. I'd be excited about the fight. Maybe there'd be a catch weight. I'm assuming there might be a rehydration clause at that point. But that could be. That could be, and that would be a good save if that is the case. Or does he want to go up for a WBA special or whatever? I can't remember what Bivol has. Does he have 2 belts or one? Just one, right? I don't remember what belt he has. Actually, let me check really quick. I can't remember. Because I suppose if he wanted to go up there. That one, I wouldn't be shocked, but I thought he would kind of get 154 figured out. But goddamn, I just said that. 168. So he's got the WBA Super. I got to admit, I did think that would be something he'd do, fight Bivol and Beterbiev, but only after he's done what he could do at 168. I didn't think he'd jump up now. That's just me thinking it. Doesn't mean shit overall, right? But that was it. Tommy Fury
is going to fight on the undercard as the first fight for a two-fight deal with Showtime. With the intentions, and this is coming from Deuce, Ranger Rollins, the intentions is Fury to face Paul next, Jake Paul. Also, Daniel Dubois is going to fight on the undercard of Paul Woodley, and it sounds like it, well, it says likely Trevor Bryant for the WBL, or WBA, sorry. A lot of people want that, you know, that Tommy Fury fight. So if you want it, you might get it. You might just get it right here. Okay, so the undercard. Ugas is staying busy against Fabian Maidana on the undercard. Kind of screams a big fight next, if that's the case. That's what it seems like to me. Just feature him on a big pay-per-view. Get his name out there, and then somebody will fight him, maybe Thurman or something. Also, well, we already, Moxio, the Philippine fighter, and Julio Seja, which, you know, could be a good action fight. But here's the kicker. Robert the Ghost Guerrero against Victor Ortiz. Guerrero and Ortiz. The only thing I can say about this one, when the bell rings, it does probably have a chance to be action-packed. But it's not a fight I'm looking forward to until the bell rings. Because I do. What will probably happen is Ortiz will get off to a good start, and then he'll get clip of something, it'll change the fight, and Guerrero will win. But they're both, the thing is, they're both old. So sometimes, like a faded vet, right? Like for a while, I talked about Jean Pascal. I'm like, dude, you don't need to fight anymore. But I was going to say he proved us wrong, and I was saying that before. But did he really prove us wrong? Because look what he got popped with. Multiple, not just one PED, but multiple PEDs. So that's actually a prime example of people that shouldn't be fighting because they're faded, but then he got unfaded, right, from the PED. But my point was fighting a young fighter against a way faded vet, like Francisco Vargas is another one. Now, he switched up his style and looks to box more now, but still, there's times where you're like, God, I don't, you know, more power to you, get your money, but it's starting to get in that zone where you're like, ugh. And clearly both these guys have been in that zone for a while. But the fact is, I guess my point is, they're both washed. So two washed dudes, at least it's two washed dudes, and it's, you know, I don't know. Coded? I don't know. It's a random fight, dude. It's just boxing. Deloach. Malik Montgomery and Justin Deloach, both positive for COVID. So Contreras and Kroll didn't get the fight. I forgot about that. Oh, here's some news. Vasily Lomachenko versus Richard Comey, reportedly likely for December 11th. And that usually means that post-Heisman, basically. And that's a good fight for, you know, if you're going to fight Teofimo next. I think that's a good fight for what it is. You know, a lot of people say, oh, he already got knocked out. Okay, sure. But, you know, it's a good keep you going, a very good keep you going fight to get to the rematch with Teofimo. David Benavidez, by the way, is... That, I don't know if you know this, but that Uzgatagi fight is going to be it says title eliminator for the WBC. Now, that doesn't mean that they call that right away, but it puts him in position to become the mandatory for Canelo's belt. Now, a lot of people were kind of gung-ho about these exhibitions at the start, right? Especially when it was like Tyson, two faded guys. At least they're both 50 fighting each other, right? Whatever. I didn't like it on pay-per-view. But listen to this fucking shit. Lamar Odom, this is Ben Baby from ESPN, Lamar Odom against Riddick. Can't complete a sentence. Sorry. Didn't mean to offend you there, but Riddick Bowe in a celebrity boxing event October 2nd in downtown Miami. Promoter is Damon Feldman. Odom and Riddick Bowe. Headgear, sure, but come on, dude. Are we really going to do this? Are we? Is that what we're doing here? By the way, the men, the men in the Olympics, there was a point where the U.S. was 8-3. The men were like 6-1. They were cruising for a bruising. Then they started, you know, you get to the quarterfinals. You know, it gets tougher, obviously, right? And, you know, they were taking some L's, no doubt about it. So Duke wrote, what is it, Reagan? It's not Reagan. Rogan. And Keyshawn Davis, who looked great in that, what was it, second-round knockout? He's got a tough fight coming up. But they are now in the gold medal round. So that's dope. That's really dope. I'm happy for him. O'Shea Jones is also, she advanced. Team USA have their first guaranteed medalist. So she's in the guaranteed at least a bronze medal. Okay. So good for her. Shouts out to her. Duke became the first boxer, according to Boxing Scene here, from the U.S. men's to secure a medal in the 2020 Tokyo Olympics. Cincinnati does so fall. Oh, Cincinnatian, followed by, you know, because he had that split decision. He kind of came back in the fight with Kirk Anthony Walker from Ireland. He had an early lead. Built an early lead to come out ahead 3 of the 5. He held on. So he became the first American featherweight since Rocky Juarez, who won a silver in Sydney in 2000. So there's a link if you want to watch that. Richard Torres Jr. has earned a place on the podium. That's who had the comeback win against the Cuban dude who, yeah, that's right. He got tired down the stretch. That's who I was thinking about. So let's just get a little boxing Twitter in here, and let's get the fuck out. How about that? So, yeah, Duke, Richard Torres, O'Shea, and Keyshawn. Well, Keyshawn is actually in the quarterfinals. He's not in the medal round. I take that back. He's got a tough-ass fight, too. Okay. Let's see. About to get out of here, guys. Another problem of too many belts in boxing, fights that are 12 rounds that should be 10, like the McCarthy Billiam Smith scrap. That's a fair tweet. This is what I'm talking about. If either Bud or Errol lose the upcoming bout, will you still want to see them face each other? Fighters are afraid. This, you know what his next post was? Fighters are afraid to let their O go, bro. They're afraid, bro. Business-wise, you're asking if we still want to see the Crawford-Spence fight? So when Sugar Ray Leonard lost to Duran, where you're like, man, fuck it. Fuck Leonard. I mean, some people were like that because he's a pretty boy. But still, people were like, oh, fuck Leonard, dude. I don't want to see the rematch with Duran. I don't want to see against Hearns. I don't want to see against Hagler. Fuck all that. Fuck all that. They're not kings, even though they weren't called that then. But you know what I mean? So if Bud loses to Porter or Spence loses to Pacquiao, fuck that fight for good. But yet, you're saying a lot of these folks are still saying, you know, that the that they're afraid to let their own go. Boxing Twitter is slowly becoming the YouTube boxing community, and I want out. Jeez, that's it, man. That is it. If the PBC fighters can't secure fights within themselves, what the fuck made us think that they would fight versus outside their bubble fighters? they have the best schedule in boxing, so I don't know if the first part actually holds true there, because, you know, they do make fights in-house. You know, that's something we got, you know. Still blaming PBC when they literally were giving Canelo his highest payday and pay-per-view upside and some mental gymnastics I can't comprehend. I'm with you, dude. I am with you. Okay, let's be honest. Caleb Plant will not fight Canelo. He already ducked Benavidez. The guy looks nervous and not enthusiastic to fight him. He just looks nervous. He looks nervous. All he has to do is survive 12 rounds and put a valiant effort on, and his stock goes up. That's true. What's up with these young bruds afraid to lose? Blah, blah, blah. He already ducked David Benavidez. How the fuck did he duck Benavidez? I mean, if you want to look what was on wax, right? Maybe you have to look that up in the Urban Dictionary, you youngsters. But if you want to know what's already been on wax, it actually was the other way. Benavidez, I'm not saying they were like, well, let's build that fight and yada, 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 you know. So that's just silly. People say official – oh, this is from Breadman Boxing. People say official wins don't matter if we know who really won. Well, why is Estrada in pound-for-pound top 10 and Chocolatito isn't? When more people believe Chocolatito won the fight than Estrada. I'm still salty they did my boy dirty. That was a legacy win. He got robbed on him. The robbery in that fight, using that word, no thanks. No thank you. No, thank you. I think that is retarded. All right, my boy Lukey, thoughts on Caleb versus Plant or Canelo versus Plant? Promoters just have money in a bank account set aside. Oh, promoters don't just have money in a bank account set aside for fights. A bank finances the fight based on projected revenues guarantees for the network. To ask for a set sum and not have a set opponent is like asking for the same fee for a clothing brand, whether you get Hanes or socks or Versace socks, not normal. I like that, especially the second part. You really put that in perspective. Jamel Herring and Shakur Stevenson is penciled in for November 13th with a deal close. This is according to World Boxing News. So let's get that fight. That would be dope. That would be dope. Okay. That's about it. I think I'm going to, because I got a couple more, but you know what? Let's save them. Let's get out of here. All right, guys. Enjoy the week. Let's hope next Saturday and Tuesday and Friday and Saturday turns out to be competitive, compelling, upsets, knockouts. Let's hope we get a good fight week. And, of course, we'll definitely be back next week. Peace out. Later.
Once you become the world champion, I believe that you feel you have the upper hand.